person, right? And here he caused them damages. And the rush brings that there's no room for damages, because the rush says the great rule that if you enter a jousting tournament, you waive the damages. That's, you know, if you want damages, then don't get on the horse. The moment, which is the rule in going to a baseball game also. Right? If a person, God forbid, gets hit by a foul ball, it's just tough luck. The moment you buy the ticket, you accept upon yourself the risk of the foul ball. That's the rule in American law. Well, that was the Russia's rule here, too. If you get on the horse, you participate in the jousting tournament, then you have waived the right for any damages. But imagine, Jews, imagine a wedding with a jousting tournament. I think we should tell it to the caterers here in New York. That's the only thing they're missing. It's an incredible thing to see. But it's a picture of how Jews saw themselves. So naturally they wouldn't have non-Jews in the jousting tournament, but they would have non-Jews prepare the armor and hold the horses, the squires, the pages, the whole shebang. So the Jews were not, you should not have the idea that the Jews in the Middle Ages had a low profile. They did not at all. It's not in the nature of Jews throughout their history to have a low, they don't know how, never. If we would know how, I don't know, maybe we would have, but it's hard to tell. On one hand, it's a testimony to our feistiness, to our stiff-neckedness, which keeps us going. On the other hand, it's a testimony to our arrogance. But throughout the Middle Ages, throughout this period of time, Jews were not, you weren't able to ignore them. Also, another point that has to be brought out, and this also is mentioned in the Rishonim, Jews wore distinctive Jewish costumes already. Some of the costumes were distinctive because the non-Jews forced them to wear it. Beginning in the Crusades already, we see Jewish badges on clothing, certain colors for Jews, and especially Jewish hats. The Jewish hat in the Middle Ages was either reminiscent of, resembled a dunce cap, came to a point, or it was a round hat that had like a little pointed spire that came from the middle of the hat. That was the Jewish hat. If you'll see the drawings, the illuminations of the medieval Haggadahs or other, the Megillahs, etc., you always see that the Jews wear a Jew's hat. It was called a Jew's hat. But again, in the reverse discrimination which Jews are always capable of mounting, and which is so essential to preserve the ethnic pride of a persecuted people, the hat became a symbol of pride, not of disgrace. And the colors that they made the Jews wear, so that became the Jewish colors. So even if they didn't have to wear it, they wore it. So Jews had a distinctive appearance. Whereas the non-Jewish clergy was almost always completely clean-shaven, even as far as their head was concerned. And the Jews always had beards, and they always had peyas, side locks, the Ashkenazic Jews. And the Jews were very visible. I know that if a person comes to New York, let us say, and he comes to Borough Park, or he comes to Williamsburg, so he thinks that there are at least, and the non-Jews think so, there are at least 6 or 8 million Jews that live in Borough Park or Williamsburg, because they are very visible. And when you become visible, and you stand out that way, so then that evokes a reaction from the general population. It just makes you different. I know that I had the same experience. The Empire Kosher Poultry Company has a plant in the Amish country of Pennsylvania in a place called Burden Hand, Pennsylvania. A beautiful little Amish town. And the Shochtim and the Amish have the same tailor. And they wear the same hat. The only